So today we're going to be talking about community, basically. Title of the sermon, All Together Now, but also All Separate, and Unity and Togetherness, but still separate together as one, and that is quite confusing. But as it doesn't overly explain, what I want to talk about is a different kind of trinity, the trinity of community. And this trinity, for the purpose of this sermon, consists of individuality and unity and diversity. On their faces, or I guess definitions, these three words don't really feel like they go well together. But as we can see in the world around us, incongruity is the new besties. So I'm going to be preaching from 1 Corinthians mostly. So if you want to come up here. So in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, he writes, "There are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. There are different ways of working, but the same God works all things in all people. Now, to each one of the manifestations of the Spirit is given for the common good. The one there is given through the Spirit, the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, and to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in various tongues, and still to another, the interpretation of said tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, who apportions them to each one as he determines." So the first thing we're going to talk about is individuality, and the aggregate of qualities and characteristics that distinguish one person or thing from another character. So this is just a definition of individuality, and what I want to look at is the third one, a single distinct entity. We all hear rhetoric about being individuals. The whole basis of the foundation of our country was, please don't ask me to do anything I don't really want to, but most importantly, only if I'm a white male. And some things are, die hard, I guess, but we're all individuals. Even those who have virtually identical genetic markers will still argue vehemently on whether Star Wars or Star Trek are clearly superior science fiction franchises. Being an individual means that we can recognize and celebrate the aspects of our bodies, minds, and spirits that we feel identify who we are. In fact, as history has shown, if we try to suppress our individual passions and actual being, then it can lead to disastrous and painful consequences. In today's world, we get fed a steady diet of what individual qualities are acceptable and what are not, and that these guidelines or prejudices, as they may be, cannot change the simple fact that we can only be ourselves, and to do otherwise is at our own peril. Paul recognizes this in his letter to the church in Corinth. He added this passage to encourage those individuals within the Corinthian church that regardless of who they are or what they do, they are a vital part of Christ's church. The idea was articulated by Jesus in Matthew 25, 40 through 43, which I'll put up here real quick. Actually, he doesn't need to put it up for me. The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." And then he'll say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed into the eternal fire prepared by the devil and his angels." That sounds terrible. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat, and I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink, and I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in, and I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me, and I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. Jesus spoke a lot in parables and metaphor, and when he spoke plainly, he wanted to make sure the point was not missed. This is one of those rare passages where Jesus speaks directly, where he leaves no gray area for those listening. God, the king, clearly valued individuals that were often hated, feared, or even just ignored by the average Jewish citizen in good standing. God values all of us, as we're in our entirety, because in the words of the prophet Lady Gaga, "I'm beautiful in my way, because God makes no mistakes." Now, before we move on, I do want to point out that our individuality does have a dark side. As an American, I am fully aware of the abuse our quest for individuality can lead to. We often treat individuality as a license to harm. As an individual, I can make decisions with my mind, my mouth, my voice, and my wallet that only really benefit one individual, me. We often talk of freedom, but our brand of freedom rarely ventures past our values and our desire to voice them without rebuke. Jesus also knew this about us, so he doubled down on avoiding toxic individuality in the next two verses of Matthew 25. It'll be up here. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? And he'll reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Mic drop. We are all called to not only share our individuality and subsequent gifts with the world and our community, but we're also charged with the duty to protect those and others as well. So now on to unity. We're all kind of made of the same stuff. So I want to use the first one that's bolded here, the state of quality of being one or united into a whole. As alluded to before, we're not meant to be individuals, but individuals united in community. I use the term unity to imply not just that we are part of a group, but that we are each an integral piece of the identity of that group. Just as with individuality, unity can be twisted into a destructive groupthink. If you look at something like bullying, oftentimes the bullies are not all comfortable with it, but are afraid to break from the group they're in. In fact, we're designed for relationships, being the social butterflies we are, to some extent. All of us, whether extroverts, introverts, or omniverts, all have a need to belong and feel valued. In some cases, our perfect support tribe consists of one star and a small ensemble of supporting actors. In others, it's a tribe with a population of Rhode Island and maybe North Dakota added as well. And then in others, maybe your preferred community consists of some, many, most, or even all of them, the citizens being animals of various domesticated types. And of course, hopefully all of you feel vitally important to this faith community, that you spend a good number of your Sundays, early afternoons, with us, because you are. Now I'm going to get a little nerdy here, or as my kids would say, baseline Pete. And the single greatest real-life example I can think of to explain what I feel is the biblical equivalent, perils of reading, of the biblical equivalent of unity are the very things that make up all of matter, atoms. Atoms are the building blocks of everything around us. I'm going to show you the closest photo ever taken of atoms. Now, I realize this looks like a nightmare of demon monkeys peeping at us from a dark void, or like our neighbor's Halloween light display that got caught in the wind. But it's actually a series of atoms. And to put the size of atoms into perspective, according to Wikipedia, which has never led me wrong, atoms are typically around 100 picometers across, which is much smaller than the shortest wavelength of visible light, making them invisible to conventional microscopes. To put this in perspective, a human hair is about 1 million carbon atoms wide. That's real small, like the number of my streams for my song White Russians and Tater Tots on Spotify small. These atoms are basically pure energy, but in a crazy twist, they are not the smallest things around. That'd be the particles that make them. Those particles are electrons and protons and neutrons. And now I'm gonna pause real quick to disclose, I'm actually not a scientist of any kind. I was a fine arts major. So I'm basically qualified to tell you that pointillism has always been dumb, that Van Gogh is in fact the greatest impressionist artist ever, and it's not even close. And I'm also barely qualified to ask if you want fries with your burger. So I'll not pretend that I'm well-versed in the inner workings of atoms and quantum physics and even how to use a microscope without fracturing my slides repeatedly. But I do know that atoms do something pretty amazing. They form ionic bonds and can become entangled. Not entangled like a Disney movie or like when you put two cables on the ground like 4 feet apart and then you look away and you look back and they're now an entire knot that a sailor would blush at his inability to untie. Now, the ionic bonds and entangled atoms I reference are in this next slide. So basically, I'll let you guys read that. But the ionic bonds are when an electron is shared with another atom, and that atom becomes positive, the other one negative, and they bond. The cool part, if you think any of this is cool, is the next part about entanglement. And that's in quantum physics where as it says, the atoms become entangled. And entangled atoms don't just share electrons that they've unified in their quantum state. What happens to one particle instantly affects its partner, even across the distance. So I believe I mentioned an invisible walkthrough and then did not provide a link. So it was real cool. Sorry, you guys missed it. But basically what that means is that, like, atoms, like the quantum entanglement of atoms means they can exist in tandem across a huge distance, okay? So why am I dropping this unrequested knowledge bomb on you? It's simple. We and everything around us are made of atoms. Atoms share electrons with each other and bond. This process happens constantly and forever. Ergo, we contain parts of everything we come into contact with. That last point's important. Often what makes a community or a communal unity impossible is the fear and distrust of things that are different. We are celebrating Pride Month. Also, Tim was super wise not to follow last week, so thanks again. On the heels of Juneteenth and Black History Month and Women's History Month, National Hispanic Heritage Month, National Disability Employment Awareness Month, and a myriad of other celebrations of our diversity and the differences of our people, meaning humans. So it seems fitting to remind everyone that in God's infinite wisdom, He created us to be an amalgamation of all matter. Since matter cannot be created or destroyed, it stands to reason that we have parts of it that, or if not complete atoms, from every single group and person, probably the benches we're sitting in, every hand you shake, even things you've not come into contact that are millions of years old, we have those. Right? So we're not just this entity of our own. We are made up of everyone. So if you dislike someone for who they are, who they love, how they look, that's actually kind of self-loathing, because you have them in you at the base level of who you are, and they have you in them. We cannot escape unity, because our very bodies and the world around us is unified at the most basic level. And God's kind of smart with this. So as an aside, it kind of goes both ways. In Matthew 7, 1 through 3, which I'll put up here, this is a pretty popular one. And I chose King James because I wanted to use a bunch of non-existent words anymore. Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. Such a mouthful. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote? Isn't that what, like, castles are trying? Anyway. That is in thy brother's eye, but consider not the beam that is in thine own eye. Right? We judge ourselves when we judge others. And in one aspect, because we likely have pieces of them in us, as we've talked about, and we probably have like a couple electrons of that Planck we shoved in our eye too, so we're all over the place. So we cannot help but be unified by our very basis of who we are, which leads us to diversity, obviously, because unity leads to diversity, right? Finally, we are individuals that come together and become a single body with diverse parts. I'm going to put up a Bible verse here. Again, this is the rest of the Corinthians. It might say 12 to 11, which is horrible math and wrong. This is obviously more than one. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to cherry pick some parts for this so that we're not here till tomorrow. The body is a unit, though it is composed of many parts. And although its parts are many, they all form one body. So it is with Christ. For in one spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we are all given one spirit to drink. For the body does not consist of one part, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. I'm going to skip down here a little bit to 18. But in fact, God has arranged the members of the body, every one of them, according to his design. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I do not need you, nor can the hand or the head say to the feet, I do not need you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be the weaker are indispensable, and the parts we consider less honorable, we treat with greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with special modesty, whereas our presentable parts have no such need. But God has composed the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that in its members should have mutual concern for one another. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Everyone has a role, a distinct place within the body of Christ, and they're all important. I apologize for this next part, but pretend I, metaphorically speaking, am the anus. On its face, well, let's not think too deeply on that, but the anus is not the most distinguished body part. The popular kids all want to be the eyes and the heart and the hands because they get all the glory, but a body without an anus would have its own unique struggles. So I feel pretty vital to this particular church body, even though I'm not like something people talk about often, especially at church, like in the front, giving a sermon. But this diversity is not just in gifts, but rather it is a diversity of understanding, points of views, and interpretations of values. Anyone that has been to a Bible study or in a book club knows that you can have five people read the exact same text and get five different concepts or realities from it. For instance, opponents of faith often will talk about, you know, why do you need so many denominations? And they'll use that as a reason to dismiss the faith. But the church itself needs those denominations because they can read the Bible, recognize all the regions and countries and all the things about where it exists, what happened during those times, who those people were, and still think Jesus looks like this. Come on. That took up a whole page. In fact, this diversity is often used as reasons to discredit Christianity. Why do you need so many denominations, they say? Well, because we're a diverse body with a variety of learning styles, values, and opinions. New denominations have sprung up because of different opinions on whether to sprinkle or dunk is a proper way to baptize. Like, that's it. It doesn't take much. We are a diverse group as humans, and we need to understand it and celebrate this diversity. It gives us a greater understanding of God's creation and a deeper grasp of who God is and how his infinite love, grace, and passion is for his limitless creation of life. God knows us as individuals and loves and cherishes every aspect of who we are. God loves connecting us in relationships with those that he knows we need and will love and understand at the deepest emotional and physical levels. We are meant to be united in our journey through this life we have. And finally, he uses these collections of united individuals to bring all of the diverse gifts and characteristics together so we can celebrate in a greater understanding of who God is, even for those like me who happen to be the anus. Let's pray. God, thank you for creating us to be relational, to unite into a diverse community of individuals. And thank you for leaving the evidence of your intent and the very essence of your design. May we learn to love ourselves and those around us the same way you do, as uniquely vital pieces of the world we live in. Amen.